Hi everyone, you're listening to Like Her, the podcast that celebrates women doing fantastic things in the realms of beauty, fitness, wellness, and everything else in between. Like Her is a space for women to share their ideas, have honest conversations, and most importantly, have a good laugh. I'm Rosanna, and each episode I'll be speaking to an inspiring woman that will hopefully make you think, I like her. So on that note, get yourself comfy, get yourself a nice drink, and enjoy the episode. Hi guys, it's Saturday night and I've just finished editing the following episode. I actually recorded the episode on Thursday, and in between recording and editing, I had a really good discussion with someone I know regarding an Instagram post I put up about having the body you deserve. This particular person has a chronic illness, and so the concept of having a body you deserve, I can now see in hindsight, as being quite offensive. Nobody deserves a body that isn't functioning as it should be, and also, like, why would you be grateful for a body that you feel disconnected to or don't feel like it's serving you? Which will be one of the episodes coming up as well. So I just want to clarify that my thoughts and opinions around this subject are with reference to able-bodied people. And with that, I hope that when you hear me getting a bit heated, you can bear that in mind. I also want to confess something. Lately, I've realised I've got caught up in trying not to offend people, particularly in like my posts on social media. I am a really sensitive person and I wouldn't want to upset people. However, I feel we're in a bit of an age now where people are so careful not to offend that their opinion gets diluted slightly, and I think I have become a part of that. So in this episode, I've been 100% honest, and honestly, listening back at points, I'm like, oh my God, Roz, you sound so harsh. But I'm really practicing staying true to my experience, and if that means conflict or criticism, then so be it. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and please remember, these are just my opinions. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not a nasty person. I just get very passionate about certain things. So yeah, enjoy the episode. Hello everyone, it's me, Rosanna. You're listening to the 7th episode of Like Her. Welcome. This is also the first episode within the Body Grateful series, which I will touch on in a minute. And it's also the first solo episode I'm doing. I spoke to a few of you, asked what you thought, and loads of people were like, yeah, go for it. I personally thought most people would be like, don't really want to hear you talking on your own. But here I am. So I'm giving it a go. Change is good. It's good to change things up occasionally. So yes, this is my first solo episode. So first of all, before we start, I just wanted to thank you for listening, really. People that have listened from the beginning, people that are dipping in and out, new listeners. I just am very grateful that anybody is listening at all. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And with that, I just want to say, it is a bit boring and I know loads of people do this, but leaving reviews and ratings really, really helps me. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I did a bit of a rant on my stories the other day about influencers that I personally don't think are that interested in like sharing positive messages, or, you know, are that into podcasts, but they just see it as another sort of fucking platform that they can make money from. I had a bit of a rant about them because I actually got recommended a podcast a couple of months ago because it was in the same section as mine, which I think is like self-help, beauty, wellness type stuff. And I was genuinely interested in it. I was like, cool, 5 stars, loads, 132 reviews, amazing. Need to see what it's about. Clicked on it, not one fucking episode, because the person had used their already massive following to get all these ratings up before even producing anything. And you know, I put a lot of energy and love into making my episodes, and I care a lot about the message that I'm putting across, and I think that should give me the ratings, not the other way around. So yeah, ratings and reviews really, really help me. Word of mouth as well, like tell your mates, share my Instagram posts. If you like something, fucking tap like. I know it's basic shit and it shouldn't matter, but unfortunately it does. And as much as I'm against like influencer behavior and like getting your follower count up and stuff, I actually really care about this podcast and I want people to see it. I want lots of people to subscribe. I want people to listen to it. So in that respect, it's really important that people know about it. So yeah, sorry, I need to take a breath. It's really different and weird just speaking on your own rather than having another person. So yeah, I basically just wanted to say that I'm really passionate about this project. I know it's really like cringe when people that have their own business or project or whatever it is, they'll say, oh, it's my baby. But that is what this feels like to me. It's like my thing that's just mine that I've created that I really care about. So again, one last cry for help. If you're wanting to help support somebody that wants to like share a good message, then please rate, review, get involved. I thought for this podcast, it's going to be the first one within the Body Grateful series. I've come up with three segments, which are kind of like side projects to the regular podcast. We've got Body Grateful, Let's Talk About Death, and Not Just for Boys. So Body Grateful is what we're going to be talking about today. And as it's something that I feel really passionately about, I thought I would introduce it and kick it off in this episode. But I'm also going to be speaking to a few other people, and it's basically about being grateful for our bodies and what they do for us. So that's the first segment. Let's Talk About Death is, I mean, it's quite obvious to figure out what that one's about. Going to have a range of different people who do different jobs and have had different experiences talk about death, just because I think it's something that needs to be opened up a bit. And I think especially in England, we get a bit weird and awkward about talking about death. Well, I don't, but people get awkward around me when I talk about it. So it's just an observation, really. I think it would be helpful for people to be more open about it. And Not Just for Boys is going to be speaking to women that have hobbies or jobs that are usually associated as being male. So think like mechanics, skateboarders, that kind of thing, chefs. So still on the lookout for people in those kind of roles. So let me know if you know of anyone. So yeah, and all of these, this idea of having three ideas, if that makes sense, all came about on Friday afternoon when I was at work massaging, just zoned out, daydreaming. It's where I get all my best ideas. I'm quite a creative person and I've got a wild imagination. So as soon as I get an idea, that's it. It just snowballs. And I'm like thinking of what colours to do for each segment. And oh my God, I'm going to have a hashtag. And then people can share the hashtag. And then it can become a social movement. And oh my God. And I get so carried away. And then I'm like back in the room and I'm like looking down at somebody's back like, shit, I'm massaging someone. Day in the life, that's literally what it's like for me. And a lot of the time, I can't write down any of my ideas, obviously, because I'm massaging, so I get really anxious that I'm gonna forget it. So on Friday, I just got home, told my boyfriend, who's obviously doing graphic design and like helps me out a bit with like logos and stuff, well, fonts and things like that. And I was like, okay, I want this color, this hashtag, just do it. So he made them for me straight away. And then I just posted all three, because if there's anything I've learned since doing this podcast, it's just once you have an idea, instead of like trying to make it perfect and grow it and be patient with it, just fucking get it out there. I think when you put things out and you show people your ideas, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you can get feedback and people bounce things off and people get excited and that makes you motivated. So I'm just doing that now. I don't care if it's like not really thought out. Like I've spent maybe, I don't know, 15 years having all these ideas and never putting them out and feeling really shit when I've seen somebody else do them. So yeah, I'm putting it out there. I thought I would just explain where Body Grateful came from. Yes, I did think it up on Friday when I was at work, but there's been a few different things that have influenced it. In this episode, I'm gonna also talk a little bit about myself and why I feel really passionately about this subject. But first of all, I just thought I'd explain Body Grateful and like my interpretation, what it means to me. So it's basically, it's come from, like I said, a mixture of things. I've been reading a really great book recently. In fact, I've been reading quite a few good books, but two, mainly one, has like had a really big effect on me. Also, like generally feeling good in my body. A few clients of work at work have also, if you don't know me, I work in a spa. A few clients of work have said a few things which also spurred this thinking. Excuse me, I need to take a little sip of water. My throat's getting dry. And also, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a reaction to the body positive movement. So I'll just break these things down first. So the book is called All That Remains by Sue Black. And I've shared it on my Instagram story highlight, so it will still be there. It's amazing. She's a forensic pathologist. And fun fact, up until the age of about 14, I wanted to be a pathologist. Try telling that to your mates and adults. You get weird looks when you're a young girl telling people, yeah, I want to cut up dead bodies and find out how they died. Yeah, it's not really your normal preteen dream job, but there we go. I was always a geek, always will be a geek. So yeah, it's written by a pathologist and she has a really nice balance of the anatomy and the physical side of it and all the like gruesome things that my little biology geek self likes to read about, but also about the sort of human side of it too. And it just got me thinking really about it. Well, if I'm honest, it just like reignited that like real childlike wonder that I have about the human body that I've always had. I've always been interested in anatomy and how the body works. And yeah, it just reminded me of that really. And I guess I was just thinking about it and realised that maybe one of the reasons why I've never paid a lot of attention to what I look like is because I'm honestly like in awe of how the body works. I just think, why is the surface level stuff more interesting than like the stuff that really goes on in our bodies? I still sometimes have moments where I'm like, fucking hell, my heart beats and pumps blood around my body without me asking to do anything. It just does it. And little things like that. I just think when you have the knowledge of the human body and the anatomy and you know all the tiny processes that our bodies go through, like why focus on, I don't know, to me like the surface stuff is just boring compared to all of that other like stuff that goes on. So yeah, that's one thing that inspired it. Also, feeling good in my body. I've started exercising again. I have a bit of a like funny thing with exercise. I've just had like lots of injuries, so I can't really be as consistent as I want. I have to rest a lot, but I've been easing myself back in, really enjoying going to the gym. I'm one of those sad people. I actually love exercise. It makes me feel really good. I love the ache that you get after exercise, probably because I work on my feet all the time and I get exhausted and achy, and using my body how it's meant to in exercise, that just makes me feel really good. So yeah, I've generally been feeling good in my body. I had a bit of a tan as well and I was like, yeah, you're not looking too bad. And then there's clients at work. So I think in the space of a week I had quite a few clients that were being quite awkward and just outwardly refused to have certain areas massaged, but then wouldn't elaborate or explain to me why. And you have to remember, like, as a massage therapist, my thing is just like, I need to know what's safe, I need to know what's going on. I just want to like solve problems really. So when somebody says to me, oh, I don't want my legs done, and I say, okay, why is that? I just don't like having them done. Right, okay, is that because has the pressure been too hard before? Has it been too light and ticklish? Do you have really like tight legs that makes it really sensitive? Like, have you got a scar or a bruise that's painful? You know, like people not giving any information away, just saying that they don't like their legs being done. So eventually I got down to the bottom of it, and this one client was like, yeah, I just don't like my legs being seen by other people and I don't want them touched. And I was like, oh, okay. Clocked that she was really self-conscious basically. And the irony of it, and I guess just goes to show that it really doesn't matter what you look like, it's how you feel, is that she had very long, slim, toned, smooth, hairless, you know, the legs that like we're all told that we should want. She had those legs and she was like insecure about them. And I know this sounds a bit insensitive, but I get really irritated with people that are self-conscious about silly things. I'm sorry, I'm going to be really honest. I'm just going to say it. And I just don't have any time for it. I have massaged literally thousands of clients. I have seen so many different types of bodies, like I can't even tell you. And there are people far worse off who have got more to worry about than their beautifully long, slim legs, and they don't give a fuck. So yeah, sorry, haven't got any time for it. So in the most professional, sensitive, nice way, but obviously being firm, I was like, look, if you're self-conscious about your legs, don't worry about it. I've seen thousands of bodies, honestly. And also, like, little side note, therapists don't fucking care. They're more preoccupied with how they're going to do their podcast later, or what they're having for dinner, or the swim they're going to have after work, than your fucking legs, trust me. So just don't be so self-orientated about it. I know it sounds really like aggressive and like I'm having a go, but yeah, just don't worry about it. So I told her, don't worry, you know what, it's actually really nice having your legs done. How about we see how it goes? If you're really not enjoying it, then, you know, I'll stop. Okay, sure. Did she stop? No, she fucking loved it. Of course she did. Yeah, so that got me thinking, obviously, about this whole body image thing that people have. And then last of all was the reaction to the body positive movement. So this is something that I was actually like super into when it first came out on social media. I really enjoyed seeing women taking pictures of their bodies that weren't super edited or super toned, you know, seeing like bellies and a bit of cellulite and stretch marks and all the rest of it, and all different shapes and sizes. But I feel like with everything on social media, it just became monetized and also became really sort of plus size centric, which kind of defeats the object about it being about all types of bodies. I was just seeing loads of like curvy plus size models doing the whole body positive thing. And again, it just became like clothing company campaigns, when actually like the essence of it is positive. However, like my own stuff with it is that for me, it's not realistic. I don't think it's realistic or necessary to be positive about your body 24/7. I don't think you have to, and I don't think you need to. Like, you can be happy and secure and stable and still dislike certain things about your body. Like, that's life. It's like when you see people say things like, if it's not serving you, cut it out. And I totally get where they're coming from. If something's not working for you, don't do it. But also on the flip side to that, like, there's going to be things in life that you don't like. That is just life. That doesn't mean that you cut things out or you avoid things because you don't like them. How about adapting the mentality where you don't like something about your body, but you don't pay attention and you just leave it. I know this sounds like a bit weird, but what about when you're at work and there's somebody at work that you don't like? You don't stop going to work, do you? I mean, you could be really immature and bitch about that person, or you could just choose to be civil and get on with it. And that's how I see it, really. Like, in life, there's going to be things that you don't like. Yes, it's important to stand up for yourself, and yes, it's important to know what's good for you. But I also think we're in a bit of an age now where we just cut shit out if we don't like it. And I personally have a problem with that. So yes, I don't think it's realistic or necessary to be body positive all of the time. And I know that the body neutral comes from that. The body neutral perspective is embracing the fact that you're not going to feel positive every day about your body. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Personally, for me, like, I agree with that. But the language body neutral, I just felt like it lacked something attractive to it in terms of how it sounded. And I feel like body grateful sounds a lot nicer. And for me, it's not so much like being body neutral, it's coming from a place of gratitude, which sounds so fucking new age and cringe. But I do think if you are somebody that practices being grateful, it's very hard to then go back to anything else. And I'm like a very grateful person in all areas of my life, and I guess that's just how it like reflects on my body. So yeah, that's how it came about. And so for just a little bit of this, I thought I would talk about myself a bit. That sounds really vain. I'm just going to talk about myself. But I think it would help people understand, also like people that have been listening to the podcast for a while, you might not know anything about me. You might know me personally, but not know my history. So I thought I would explain that. Also, one thing I quickly wanted to say about the whole body image thing and the body grateful thing is I know that a lot of these social movements and a lot of body positivity stuff comes from people that have suffered with eating disorders and have suffered with their mental health. And I think it's really important that you hear about that. I do. I'm not saying that that's not valid. What I have noticed though is like there's a lot of people giving advice who have come from that mindset of not being well. And I'm just putting it out there. I've never had an eating disorder. I've never really struggled with my mental health. Yes, I get a bit down sometimes. Yes, I get anxious. Again, that's life. But I've never had something that's has disabled me in any way. And I think it's really important to get your information from different types of people. And if you're somebody that maybe struggles with your eating or your confidence, maybe look at people that don't struggle with their eating or don't struggle with their confidence, because they obviously have something in their brain that doesn't allow them to struggle with their confidence or with their hunger or whatever it is. And sometimes I think it's good to look at people and almost like model yourselves on them and think, okay, they've obviously got a skill or a trait that I don't have. How can I be more like that? And it's not about copying them or not being yourself. It's just being objective and informing yourself. So I'm just putting it out there. I've never had an eating disorder. And why not adapt the behavior of somebody that's never been mentally ill? And the reason I'm saying this is, funnily enough, I had kind of like a friend, not anymore, who's a guy who's a bit younger than me, and he had a problem with drugs, and he told me, sorry, I need to have another sip of water again. Okay, I'm back. So my friend who had the problem with drugs, he told me that he went to an NA meeting and he was like, Rosanna, mate, like, I don't get it. Why would I want to sit and hear about people that have been addicted to drugs their entire life? He was like, I don't want advice from other addicts. I want advice from people that have never been addicts. And so, yeah, that's kind of the slant I'm coming from. I don't want to sound like nasty or like, don't listen to these people or whatever. I just think it's important to get like a well-rounded view. So a little bit about me. I guess the reason why I'm so passionate is I've never had an eating disorder or mental health issue or whatever. I've definitely had like a touch of low self-esteem when I was younger and probably a bit of body dysmorphia, but I will explain about that in a minute. So when I was younger, I was always really sporty. I was a complete string bean, like super tall. I'm 5'10½" and I have been that height since I was about 14, and I was super skinny, had braces. Yeah, the lot. Frizzy hair. And when I was younger, I'm 30 in September, so people that are a similar age to me will know what I mean. Or maybe not, maybe it was just like my experience. But when I was younger, I felt that the women in the media and the role models that we all looked up to, it was Beyonce, it was Rihanna, it was Jennifer Lopez. It was like super curvy, sexy, traditionally like womanly figures. And being 14, I was like a foot fucking taller than all the boys, super skinny, no boobs. And yeah, I didn't feel attractive, because at the time being super curvy was like the sexy attractive thing. And you always hear about like, there's so many eating disorders because girls want to look like models. That just wasn't the case when I was younger at all. Like, everybody wanted to be like sexy and curvy. And so from like quite a young age, I didn't really feel like attractive in that way. Like, boys never fancied me. They always fancied my friends. And I always felt like the gawky, tall, weird one. So I was super tall and skinny, super into sport. And the flip side of that was when I was about 16, I started getting scouted by modelling agencies, and just kept happening. And then it kind of happened more. And then it was kind of like people were telling me, oh, you should be a model, blah, blah, blah. And I guess at the time I was like really into fashion, really into art, and I thought, okay, maybe I should be a model then. And at the time, like this is like 12 years ago, maybe a bit, maybe 13 years ago, when it first started happening, the trend in the modeling agency is so different to what it is now. It was super tall, super skinny, super blonde, Russian, alien look, which was just obviously, if you know what I look like, I'm like dark curly hair, brown eyes, like olive skin. Yeah, not that at all. So I always had in the back of my mind, like, I don't know if this is going to work. So I went to a few agencies, nothing happened. I got, when I was doing my A-levels, I got scouted for a TV program and I went up to London and was in a studio all day and had this like agent from New York who was like, oh my God, I'm going to sign you. This is going to be great. Got sold all this false hope, and the bloody program was for a deal for a Debenhams underwear fucking shoot, which couldn't have been like the worst job for me. I had no boobs whatsoever, so obviously I didn't get the job. Yeah, and actually that's one thing about the fashion industry that has got better, is you see a lot of underwear models who don't have massive tits now, which is kind of reassuring. When I was younger, it was all like massive boobs, flat stomachs, like the impossible body that like one in a million people have. So yeah, I didn't get that job. Went to my then boyfriend's house. We got drunk. The next day I had a hangover and was walking in London, and a lady kind of chased me down the street and was like, excuse me, my friend has just started a modelling agency. Can I take your picture and send it to her? I think she'd be interested. At this point, I didn't give a fuck. And I was like, whatever, I've been rejected. Take a picture. I probably looked very hungover and druggy and messy hair. And that's probably what got me signed at the time. So I got signed to an agency, and luckily it was an agency that didn't want any size zero models. And at the time, I don't know if they still do this, but at the time they even wanted to publish our BMIs on our model profile. So on mine, it would have like Rosanna, height 5'10½, bust, waist, hips, shoe size, eye colour, hair colour. And then right at the bottom, it would have BMI. And I just remember at the time, like, the industry standard for models is a 34 bust, 24 waist, 34 hip. And I was a 32 bust, which was fine because it was smaller. If you're smaller, then it's great, which is a load of bullshit. I was a 24 waist and I was a 36 hip. And I had not an inch of fat on me. I used to eat like a horse, not exercise, do whatever the fuck I wanted. And I was skin and bone. But obviously you can't shave bone. You know, I had hips and I was always a bit paranoid about that. And I remember going to like test shoots and fittings and like did the odd fashion show where I would just be panicked or paranoid that I would be put in a pair of jeans or trousers in case they didn't fit. Because not only is the 34, 24, 34 the industry standard, that's also the standard for the clothes that you're going to be wearing. So if you don't fit the clothes, you're fucked pretty much. So yeah, I had a lot of anxiety about not fitting into the clothes, always being the biggest one, not wanting to cause any trouble. But luckily, being like a bit of a fuck you rebel, I never succumbed to an eating disorder. And to be honest, I know this sounds awful, but sometimes I think it would have been easier if I had, because I wouldn't have been worried about not fitting into the clothes. Instead, I was eating whatever I wanted, not exercising, and having the panic of like, shit, what if I don't fit into these jeans? So that carried on for a bit. I was in a relationship at the time that I don't think was very good for me. I think that just happens when you're young. So I didn't have the best kind of introduction to modelling. My agent sat me down. They were like, look, we've taken some pictures of you 360 degrees, may I add, in a thong and bra top when you're 19 years old. It's not what you want. And they were basically like, this agency can see what we can see. And I was like, what's that? And they said, what are you doing for exercise? To which I said, nothing. What are you doing for diet? And I said, I eat everything. And they were like, you need to think about whether or not you want to do this. So that was my message, loud and clear, to get the fuck out of there. And I came home. I think, yeah, the modelling like definitely made me realise that I didn't want to be an object. I felt like I had more of an opinion and more to share than what I looked like. So I got out of that. But at the same time, there are a lot of like positives about the modelling agency. I was taught how to look after myself properly in terms of like my appearance, like looking nice and put together. I got so many like introductions to health, facials. I had my first ever proper facial when I was modelling, which was what really like inspired me to get into beauty. I had this amazing facialist who was like, first of all, I like walked in and she was like, "You eat cheese, don't you?" I was like, "What?" She was like, "And you do this, and you do that." And I just remember being like, "How the fuck do you know this from my skin?" Obviously, it's now something I know. But that was one of the things that inspired me to go into beauty training, which is what I did. And I think what's interesting about my journey so far is that even though I've done so many different things, there's been this constant thread throughout, which is it's somehow related to the body. So even in modelling, like obviously you're a fucking body. Beauty, like that interest in the body was like really helped my training. And then working in a salon, I got really stressed and I started doing yoga to counteract that. Again, another introduction to the body. So I've had all these like bits and pieces throughout my life that have tied me to the body. And then I guess working in a spa is what really kind of topped it off. I worked in spa full time, doing like 30 massages a week, and was introduced to other holistic therapists too, which gave me a lot of insight into body work. And I got injured a lot. I've always done gym or sport or yoga and always got injured, so I've always had to have body work done to me. And I also think this is another thing that has stopped me from caring too much about what I look like. When you're in pain a lot from an injury or working in a spa 40 hours a week, you do not care what you look like because you are focused on fixing your body. I remember having a really bad back injury where I was out of action for a month and I had to go to hospital. And going to the gym after that was a totally different experience. I wasn't going to the gym to, I don't know, like tone up my bum or whatever. I was going to like rehab my back. And I think that's really important. Sometimes like you need things like that. You need injuries and you need things to happen to you to make you realize what's more important. So I've always had these little things that have tied me back to the body. And I guess there's also part of my personality that I'm just like, fuck you, don't tell me how to feel, don't tell me how to act, like it's not happening. And I think with the media, social media, when I was younger it was magazines, like as women we're told, and men more now I think, but as women we're told like what things we should be insecure about, what things we should care about, what things we should wear. And I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not interested. Like, I'm my own person, it doesn't work for me, and I'm not interested in being a sheep. And I think a lot of women need to take that on board and adopt that attitude a bit more, really. Like, don't just take things, question it, criticize things. We're more than what we look like, and you don't have to be this insecure mess that the media is telling you to be. So I've just had a little water break and sort of thought about what I've said so far. And one thing I forgot to mention was the contradiction that I felt when I was modelling. So when I was modelling, I spoke about this paranoia that I had about never fitting in the clothes and knowing that I was bigger than the other girls. Now, I'm like a size 8 to 10 now. I was maybe 2 stone lighter when I was modelling. It was about 12 years ago. So I was 19, 20, and I weighed about 8 1/4 stone, literally nothing. And I cannot stress this enough. I did not have an eating disorder. There are people out there, and I was one of them. Maybe think about why models are so young. It's because there are people that are naturally slim that are fucking rakes. I was one of them. So yeah, I had this contradiction of like worrying about being one of the bigger girls because I had like wider hips, and then also knowing that in the real world I was a skinny mini. And I think having that awareness is what stopped me from getting an eating disorder, and also this fuck you attitude that I also have. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that really so you could understand why I care so much about the body image thing. I also think it's really important just kind of learning your body and growing up, and it's definitely something that gets easier as you get older. I personally like got all my worrying out of the way by the time I was about 21. I was bored of it. It was tiring. I've got better shit to do than worry about fucking thigh gaps or whatever it is people are worried about. But one thing that I think is really important for self-esteem, not only is it building it up yourself, but it's the people you hang around with. And I think especially for young girls, the relationships that you have with men, I mean like boyfriends. I'm lucky that all of my friends when I was sort of 17 to now really were mainly guys, and really nice guys, really respectful guys. But I've had boyfriends that weren't, they're fucking assholes. And at the time I just blamed it on me, or I blamed it on the way that I looked. I guess because when I was much younger, a teenager, I felt like I wasn't attractive, so I didn't feel like boys fancied me, when actually the boys that weren't being very nice to me, it was more to do with their stuff and like projecting their shit on me. But obviously when you're fucking 20, you don't know that. But one thing that, yeah, I did want to say is the importance of like good relationships. So I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years, and one thing that struck me actually was, and I think a lot of girls will relate to this, is a few things happened early on with my current boyfriend where I was really shocked that he was being nice, because all my other boyfriends had been so shit. So I remember like we were in a text conversation and I was like, oh, I'll leave you to it now. I don't want to like bore you or whatever, because I always felt like I was like a nuisance to other boyfriends and that like I was getting in their way. And my current boyfriend was like, what are you on about? He was like, you're my girlfriend, I want to speak to you. And it was like the most basic thing that you realize that for ages you've let people not be very nice to you. And yeah, I guess having like a nice boyfriend that literally doesn't give a shit how small or how big, or doesn't pay any attention to it. I've actually had boyfriends that have paid attention to that, and I think it's fucking weird in hindsight. So yeah, having a boyfriend that, you know, isn't interested in having like a fucking skinny model girlfriend is actually quite nice and reassuring as well, and somebody that as you grow and your body changes that they just like you for who you are. That's really important. It's so cliched, but when we're younger we don't believe it. And yeah, I guess that's another thing that's helped me, is just like knowing my own worth, knowing my skills, knowing that, I mean, I had like the most obvious introduction to that possible being a model. Like you're on a photo shoot and you've got a photographer who's really passionate about photography, you've got a stylist who's really passionate about styling, you've got a makeup artist, you've got a set designer, you've got the whole fucking lot, and you're just the end result and you just have to make the picture look good. And for me that wasn't fulfilling enough. Now in hindsight I'm kind of like, for fuck's sake, you should have got your act together, you could have earned shitloads of money and you could have a house by now. But at the time it didn't sit right with me and I wanted more input. I'm also a really creative person, and just sort of posing in front of the camera didn't feel enough for me at the time. Now sounds like a fucking dream job and I wish I had done it, but at the time I was like, no, I just, my integrity didn't, I don't know, felt like it was being jeopardized. So yeah, I guess in a way, like, people are always like, oh, you're lucky you haven't had this happen to you, or you're lucky with your mental health. But I think throughout my life there have been times where I've been tested and I've just had that little like angel on my shoulder talking to me, like basically saying, do the right thing. So I've had another drink. My throat's actually starting to close up, so I'm gonna have to finish soon. The last thing I wanted to talk about was like a conversation I had with a girl on Twitter who's obviously quite young, I think, and she was sending tweets to Jamila Jamil, who I really enjoy what she's doing at the moment, a touch over the top and attacking at times. Like, I totally get where she's coming from, but I saw some recent tweets on about Kim Kardashian's body makeup that I just felt like were a bit unfounded. Sometimes, like, people want to fucking wear body makeup. Doesn't mean that they're insecure, objectified messes. It just means they want to look nice, you know? Anyway, this girl basically had asked her a few questions about, like, oh, I have scars and acne. Like, is it okay to cover up if I'm not confident yet? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Jamila Jamil didn't reply. And I was like, I'm going to butt in here because this person's obviously wanting to be more confident but doesn't know how. And I do think, again, with the body positive thing, I do think we're told that we have to either sort of like love everything about ourselves, love your curves, love your fucking cellulite, love your stretch marks, blah, blah, blah. Totally get where it's coming from. Not going to lie, I don't like my cellulite. Can you please find me somebody that 100% truly likes their cellulite? Yes, I've accepted my cellulite, but do I like it? No, I think it looks ugly. Like, sorry, does that mean I'm not a feminist because I think cellulite looks ugly? Nah, sorry. I think the difference is I don't pay attention to it. I don't let it affect me. So, no, I don't like the cellulite on the front of my legs. Does it stop me from wearing skirts or shorts? No. Does it stop me from wearing a skimpy bikini? No. Does it make me tell a massage therapist to not massage my legs? No. Does it make me a less stable, secure, happy, confident person? Absolutely fucking not, because I have got bigger fish to fry than worrying about the cellulite on my legs. And I think this is the difference. We can be confident, we can be secure, we can be like perfectly happy, secure, nice people without having to love everything about ourselves. I think it's perfectly normal to dislike certain things about your body. Just don't let it take over. You don't have to. Like, we are more than just disliking it. Also, you know when you get that friend who like always moans about what they look like? It's kind of fucking annoying. It's not nice to be around. So like, just don't do it. Don't be that person. And I know, again, I sound a bit ranty and a bit attacking, but like, it could be worse. Like, for me, if I'm having a bit of a down day, I always like do the checklist in my mind, which is like, I've got both arms and legs, I can see, I can hear, I can taste, I've got a supportive boyfriend, I've got both my parents, they're still together, I've got my sister, I've got a fucking roof over my head, and yeah, I might not have very much money, but I can feed myself, and you know, my finances are in check. And that's the checklist that I go through every time I'm having a fucking weird one where I'm like, oh my god, like my jeans don't fit. Like, do the checklist, because it works. And that is like being grateful in general, like being grateful for your body, for the fact that it pumps blood around your body without you asking it to do anything. You breathe when you sleep. Like, how does that even happen? Like, I just think being fascinated with how the body works is so much better and more constructive than being obsessed about cellulite or stretch marks or fat or whatever it is. So yeah, that's just my take on it. And then just finally, I do want to say that with this kind of concept of being body grateful, I don't want people to use it as an excuse not to be healthy or not to take responsibility for their bodies. As a massage therapist, I cannot tell you how many people I see who can do things to make themselves feel better and they don't do it. They will blame fucking everything. They'll blame their shoes that they wore 30 years ago. They'll blame their chair at work. They will blame, and I'm not going to lie, I see this a lot with people that are very, very overweight. They do not want to just say, yeah, you know what? I'm overweight. I've had maybe like 10 clients in 10 years who have been open and honest and have been like, yeah, my back's fucked or my knee's fucked because I'm overweight. It doesn't happen very often. So I don't want this, like, I don't want people to think, oh, well, yeah, I am morbidly obese and my joints are giving in, but I've got both arms and legs, so it's okay. I don't want it to be that excuse, sorry. I know, again, I sound harsh, I'm going to get so much criticism for this, but I want people to take responsibilities for their bodies and for themselves as well. This is not a get-out-of-jail-free pass. This is just like a way of thinking for when you're feeling negative about what your body looks like. Just do the little like checklist. Cool. If you're really, really unhappy with what you look like and you can do something about it, then just do it. But again, it's that like balance between, okay, I'm going to look after myself. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to go to the gym. If you're really like overweight, and this is another thing, I feel like we can't say that being overweight is bad anymore. Yes, you could accept your body. Yes, you can be happy with your body. The health implications I see with people that are morbidly obese are just like, it's just not worth it. So I do think that like managing weight is important, not to the point that you're obsessive or you're calorie counting or you're not eating nice foods and you're not socializing because of it. Just be healthy. I'm getting a bit carried away now, but there is, you can be healthy. You can do everything in moderation. It doesn't have to be strict, but also don't be so lax that you give up on yourself and you experience all the horrible health implications of that as well. And the same goes for under-eating too. So I don't know what kind of fucking tangent I've gone on now, but main takeaways from this is be grateful for what your body does for you. Focus on that instead of focusing on what you don't like, especially the sort of aesthetic surface parts of your body. Because also, I know you might be really concentrated on like your arms not being as toned as you wanted or whatever it is, but people don't even notice it and they don't give a fuck, and it is not attractive and it's not engaging to constantly talk about things that you don't like about yourself. Personally, when somebody does that to me, I'm like, mental note, don't speak to that person again, you're boring. I want to chat about fun stuff, projects, fucking star signs, what's going on in the news, like music, anything but talking about bodies. Even though I've just spent 45 minutes talking about bodies, so there we go. And finally, I think what I want you to take away from this the most is that you can be confident and you can be a secure person and you can be happy and still dislike parts of your body and it not be an issue. Just try and get that into your head. You don't have to be this person. I mean, fair play to you. If you buzz over your cellulite, then yeah, fair enough. I'm just saying you don't have to. Don't feel like you have to be super body positive all of the time. You can even be body neutral. I don't really care. But just be grateful for your body, what it does for you. On that note, I don't know if you can hear, my throat is fucked. I don't know what's happened. This is what happens when you do a solo episode, I guess, because there's not another person to take up the time talking. I've just ran my mouth and it's my throat's dry. So I hope some of this has made sense and you feel a bit more like adapting the body grateful sort of mindset. I hope it's been interesting, informative. Hope you've been able to take something away from it. And the last bit of my podcast got deleted, God knows how or why. So thanks for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. Again, these are just my own opinions. Sorry if it's been a bit ranty. But yeah, thanks for listening. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. Take it easy. Bye.